mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, everyone knows them. Half of us would be willing to take a pay cut to avoid them. Some sanity-saving advice from the author of How to Work with Complicated People. Also this morning, meet the Visioneers. Engineers, scientists, and everyday heroes, and the futuristic technology and ideas they're using to make our planet a better place. And we have another collection of yummy and easy-to-make recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, April 4th, 2025. This is the big story that everybody's talking about. The losses on Wall Street yesterday, the huge tariffs that the president has imposed on just about every nation in the world, just about anything that is imported into this country. And here's a bit of irony. The tariffs could make Bibles more expensive. That's right, just in time for Easter. Most Bibles are printed outside the U.S. Did you know that? The CEO of HarperCollins Christian Publishing, which is the country's largest Bible publisher, told the Wall Street Journal that it has been all hands on deck since the tariffs were announced this week. And in fact, Donald Trump's own personalized God Bless the USA Bibles are printed in China, as it turns out. And in China, exports to the U.S. now face a 54% tariff. So even the president's Bibles he's been selling are going to get a lot more expensive here very soon. I don't know. Has anyone told the president that? Now, I don't care who you are. That's funny. That's ironically funny right there. That's you just got to laugh. Maybe the president can carve out an exception for his God Bless the USA Bibles. That's crazy. Let's see. What is going on in the world? Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, artificial intelligence has been so much in the news recently. And I saw this story on the Newswire. Apparently, this is becoming a thing, and maybe it's because everything is becoming more expensive and all of that with the economy. Apparently, there are folks who are using artificial intelligence, the latest version of ChatGPT, to create fake receipts from restaurants and presumably other establishments as well. Fake receipts from restaurants, grocery stores, and so on. So why are they doing this, you might ask? And apparently, some of these have been posted online. One user on X posted an image which appears to be a bill for an elaborate steak dinner amounting to over $200. And the user made the check, the fake check, look real by adding wrinkles and food stains to it because, you know, ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, can do that. So why would someone fake a receipt, you might ask? Well, apparently they are doing that to fool rewards programs. Because at restaurants, grocery stores, and so on, they have rewards programs, customer loyalty programs. You scan your receipt and you get points toward free food or discounts in the future. OpenAI's usage policies for ChatGPT explicitly ban fraud. And apparently, you can tell that ChatGPT was used, apparently in the metadata of the image file, you can tell that ChatGPT was used. So what they will do about that, I have no idea. It's against their policies, but what are you going to do? Take them to AI jail? I don't know. New research actually suggests that this technology could be used to combat fraud, not create it, but that's what some people have come up with the idea of doing. I don't know. I would imagine with limited success or varying levels of success, but Some people are using AI to fool the customer loyalty rewards programs. Wow. There you go. This is the latest amazing research. I thought this was really interesting. We've all heard of the term FOMO, the fear of missing out. Well, apparently, according to research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, they have cracked the mystery of FOMO. They say the reason why you have a fear of missing out is not the event itself, but rather the fact that you're missing out on interactions with other people. That's what you really fear missing out on. A group dinner or a concert with friends. It may not be the food or the music, but the social opportunity that creates FOMO. If friends bond without you, this could trigger insecurity over whether they will invite you out in the future. According to the authors of the study, we find that people anticipate FOMO even for unenjoyable missed events. As long as there is some form of missed social bonding, those feelings of FOMO emerge. So that's kind of interesting. It's not the event that you fear missing out. It is the social interaction with other people. So it's kind of interesting. Think about that the next time you're having a party or you're doing something and you're thinking, should I invite Jim or should I invite Shirley? Or will they not enjoy this? Was this something they wouldn't be interested in? They're probably going to have FOMO if they're not included. So include everyone you know, basically what they're saying. I just thought that was kind of interesting. You want, I talk about the fear of missing out. This is like the ultimate FOMO. Those astronauts that were stranded at the International Space Station, they were supposed to be up there for a week, and they ended up there for 9 months or more. I guess it was supposed to be like a mission week and a half long, and it was, instead of 9 days, it was 9 months, something like that. Anyway, if you want, this is a great moment, kind of like a tearjerker. If you want a great video to watch, a little pick-me-up, look this up. NASA astronaut Sunny Williams reuniting with her dogs after 9 months in space. She posted a video on social media with the caption, "Best homecoming ever," shows her greeting her dogs, who appear very excited to see her, as you might imagine. The dogs really excited to have her back home after she returned to Earth from the International Space Station on March 18th. If you want a video that'll make you smile, look that one up. It is your viral video of the day. Got to see that. It's really cool. And lastly, here among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You've heard that story. You sleep on it and you'll feel things will look better in the morning. You know, have you ever had somebody say that when you're, you know, wringing your hands, you're worried about something and somebody will tell you, hey, just sleep on it. Things will look better in the morning. Don't worry about it now. Sleep on it and look better in the morning. Apparently, that is good advice. Research from a team at the University College London has revealed that sometimes things really do look better in the morning. They tracked mental health patterns of some 49,000 adults, and they found that respondents reported less depression and less anxiety in the morning hours. Mental well-being declines throughout the day, is what they found, and it hit rock bottom right about midnight. Mental health tended to dip midweek, and respondents experienced more dramatic mood swings on the weekends. They theorize these patterns may exist due to natural biological rhythms and environmental factors like sunlight, temperature, etc., etc., etc. But in general, your mental health mental well-being declines through the course of the day, but you have less depression, less anxiety first thing in the morning. So the next time you are worried about something, unless you know you're depressed over something or anxious about something, whatever it might happen to be, and you hear that advice, just sleep on it. Things will look better in the morning. Indeed, that appears to be scientifically a fact. Now, that is news you can use this morning. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. A chance of showers today with a high in the middle 50s. Showers likely tonight, low in the mid 40s. The National Weather Service has confirmed it was an EF1 tornado that touched down in northwest Putnam County Wednesday night and tore through the DuPont area. The sheriff's office says a state of emergency has been declared for the village of DuPont and the surrounding area. People are asked to place debris east of the village garage on Liberty Street. The sheriff's office says residents whose property was damaged from the storm can call the Office of Public Safety to report damages. Three people suffered injuries that are not life-threatening. See some pictures of the damage in the story on our website. These storms we've been getting have been dropping plenty of rain on the area, causing area rivers and creeks to swell, and unfortunately, more rainfall is on the way. Remember, you can always get the latest river levels, forecast weather alerts, and road alerts on our website. Ohio House Republicans are proposing changes that would impact how schools are funded.
It's all part of a new measure they want to add to the governor's proposed state budget. This change would require each county budget commission to identify when a school district carries more than 25% of its operating budget. For every percent over that mark, the commission must reduce your property tax bills in the following year. The proposed state budget still has to make it through the House and Senate before getting approved by the governor.
ONN's Jay Plyburn reporting. The University of Findlay's Mazza Museum says Down on the Farm Family Fun will be featured during their next Fun Day Sunday program on Sunday. The event, which is free and open to the public, features the theme Farmyard Fables. The Mazza Museum says games, crafts, and activities will be provided, and live sheep and chickens will be part of the event. Fun Day Sundays take place at the Mazza Museum on the University of Findlay's campus from 1 to 3:30. Registration is required and can be completed on the Mazza Museum's website or on the link that we have in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, this is something that all of us can relate to, and I know that because in a new survey, 78% of working Americans say they personally deal with complicated individuals at work, at least weekly, and many times even more often. And almost half of Americans polled say they would even be willing to take a slightly lower paying job just to not have to work with complicated people. So, how do you deal with someone who doesn't think or work like you do or like you think they should? Best-selling author and leadership coach Ryan Leake is here to tell us. He is the author of How to Work with Complicated People. And Ryan, in the book, you talk about adapting in stressful situations, and you say there's actually power in them. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we all want to have a stress-free life, stress-free jobs with stress-free people that bring us our coffee just the way we like it every morning. And we all think, man, that would be nice.
I was going to say, you put it that way, and it almost sounds unreasonable.
Exactly. And let's just say that environment existed, and everyone would sign up to work there. But the problem is that wouldn't be a growing environment, because we only grow when we're faced with challenges. You see, anyone can thrive when they're surrounded by like-minded, supportive individuals who share their same communication style and work ethic, but our superpower comes into play when we are face-to-face and collaborating with people who are wired completely different than us.
Yeah.
That's when we are indispensable. That's when we are the kind of people that say, hey, you know what? You bring me any kind of person in the workforce, and I'm going to be the person that doesn't avoid complicated people. I'm going to be the kind of superpower person that actually moves towards other people.
I thought that was interesting the way you put that. Working with complicated people is actually a superpower if you can learn to do that. I thought that was an interesting perspective.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's a mindset shift. We in our book we say collaboration is a mindset. It's having that kind of mindset that says, I am going to be the kind of person that makes this a better place to work. And you have that kind of power. And I hope that this book gives people their power back when they feel powerless in their workforce.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those strategies. What are some ways to deal with a complicated coworker? Again, nearly all of us know at least one. How do we deal with that and manage, again, to your point, managing our own expectations?
Well, you have to stop letting complicated people surprise you. The thing I hear all the time is people go, man, I can't believe they would put that in the email. I can't believe they would say that in the meeting. I can't believe. And I'm like, no, believe them. What were you expecting? I can tell you what you were expecting. You were expecting them to be two things, simple and perfect, except all you ever get is flawed and complicated.
Yeah.
And so if we can learn to expect human, it changes the way we show up to work on a Monday morning. Because if we come in expecting complicated, we walk in going, is it you today? Is it going to be you today? Is it going to be you today? And then by the time somebody does something that's crazy, we go, look, dude, I've been waiting for you all day. Like you were expecting it. And when you expect complicated, you can prepare for it. But if it's always catching you off guard, you're never going to be able to respond in a way that you actually want to do. So I encourage people not to lower their expectations, but to adjust them to be realistic and to expect human.
I get everything that you're saying, and it certainly makes a lot of sense, but that only really works to a certain point, doesn't it? I mean, there is a line where complicated sure. becomes a problem. You can only adapt and adjust your expectations to a certain point.
Absolutely. I think what this book is all about is simply you taking ownership of your part. And the book's called How to Work with Complicated People, Strategies for Effective Collaboration with Nearly Anyone. Key word there is nearly, because some people are certified crazy and you can't work with everybody.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I do believe that you can take ownership of your part. So before you write somebody off, before you cancel them, before you quit your job, you want to be able to ask yourself, did I do everything in my power to build a bridge with this person? Did I try to understand this person? I've learned that complicated people often have a complicated behind the scenes. And the more we learn about why they are the way that they are, why they have that pace, why they have their preferences, why they have that personality, well, they become a little less complicated. Doesn't mean you're always going to be able to work flawlessly with people, because again, it's not realistic,
mm-hmm.
but it does mean we can move towards each other with understanding as best as we possibly can. And the only thing you can do, the thing you can hang your hat on at the end of the day, is did you play your part to the best of your ability? But you cannot waste energy trying to control other people's part.
So all of this is really good practical advice for the average worker, the worker bees. What about for managers and team leaders?
Yes.
What would be the a good first step for a team leader to address some of the problems with complicated people that are causing issues in the workplace?
I think every leader's first step has to be by asking a very, very important question. And that question is, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Most people work decades and they never pause to consider what it's like to be on the other side of them. What's it like to experience them? What's it like to follow them? What's it like to get communication from them? And here's what every leader has to understand. On the other side of them, it can be a little complicated. On the other side of them is some complexity. And if you start with that posture, it's not going to make your employees less complicated, but it might make you less judgmental, because now you have a posture that your employees can feel that says, hey, I make mistakes. I make mistakes too. I've dropped balls as well. I can admit when I'm wrong. Hey, I'm trying to get better, and I'm trying to create an environment where we all are trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
We are so much more receptive to somebody that can admit their own mistakes than somebody that's always pointing a finger at us, telling us what we did wrong. And so I think the more that we can look in the mirror and take ownership of the things that we can improve in, I think it's going to be a whole lot easier because people are going to respect you more because they realize that they're also working for a human as well.
It is advice that will resonate with nearly everyone in the workforce. Ryan Leek is author of How to Work with Complicated People, a very straightforward title with straightforward advice. Ryan, where do folks get more information about the book?
You can get your copy of How to Work with Complicated People on Amazon or wherever books are sold, and you can get leadership resources from me at ryanleek.com.
Ryan, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Well, with us now are Zay Harding. He is the host of the new CBS show, The Visioneers, a series that will take viewers on a global journey showcasing futuristic technology and the innovators behind them. Thais Lopez, co-founder of the Volo Foundation, a private family foundation that exists to accelerate change and global impact by supporting science-based climate solutions, enhancing education, improving health. This is a fascinating topic. Tell us more about, Zay, first of all, let me start with you. Tell us what we can expect to see in this show and why it matters, why we should care.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Thais and I are very excited to be here. And joining together forces is probably the best thing that could have ever happened to the world. What we are doing is raising awareness. We're going around not just our country, but the entire planet to find innovators who are doing exciting new things to bring you guys and all of us solutions that we can all try. So it's very fun. It's very exciting. It feels futuristic at times. It's not just technology. It's a lot of just little things that we can be doing, but all of them are making a big difference, and we're doing it in a fun way. And you guys are going to love tuning in every Saturday morning on CBS to watch what we do is we break up each episode with a few segments. And mm-hmm. So within each episode, you'll get to see a few different initiatives, and they're all exciting. And if you miss a week, that's fine. They're evergreen, which means you can tune in anytime. They're all going to be exciting to watch.
So give us some examples of things that we're talking about. Because like you said, it does sound very futuristic, but these are things that are happening right now.
Yes, there are so many examples. It's hard to just give a few that, you know, describe how the show is going to be. But one example would be in Copenhagen, there's a Copen Hill, which they have taken, it's a waste to energy plant. So they've taken trash from Poland to the UK. Mm-hmm. They go out and they pick up all the trash from landfills that can't be recycled and otherwise would be harming our waters with microplastics as they erode into our system.
Yeah.
And because everything leads to the waterways in the end, and that's the water that we, you know, begin with to drink.
Right.
So they take this, all this waste, and they bring it into a giant pit. It's like as wide as the Empire State Building, and they are bringing 250 trucks a day of this excess trash, landfill trash, and they're burning it to create heat for all of Copenhagen. And they're doing it in a way where they're mixing acids in with the sulfites and, mm-hmm. and they carbon capture whatever's there so that all that's released at the end of this is just water vapor. It's
wow.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And to top it all off, they have made it a ski resort. So they cover it all up with this mountain, this man-made mountain above it.
Yeah.
And they call it Copen Hill. And you can go there to ski. So it's an attractive site.
Wow.
It's clean air. It's really exciting what they're doing there.
Yeah.
That's just one example. We're going around the world finding all these initiatives that are doing fun stuff like that.
Future is now. How can individuals, I mean, so much of this, like, for example, that project is something that is bigger than just one person. But how can individuals contribute to these types of solutions, creating a healthier planet, which I think we all want?
Yeah.
Listen, I think that everybody can help from where you are with what you do and with what you have. You don't have to be an engineer or a physicist. Anybody, you can start by not buying excess food in your house, because when you put it in the trash. 30% of the food that you buy goes in the trash, and this becomes greenhouse gases and is bad for the environment, right? So be mindful when you go to the grocery store, or change the light bulbs in your house for the spiral one, so they can the energy can be saved. And we can do a lot of things, but the amazing thing about Visioneers and this show is that we can show you that these solutions are everywhere and that everybody is gaining from them. I mean, the economy is booming in those places. The health of the people is better. They is creating jobs. So the solutions to the climate crisis are not only economically good for the country, but for the people. And we all have to spread the news, spread the education on the climate. And you guys help us do that, please, because the information about environmental issues has to be accurate and more reliable. That's why Bolo Foundation exists. And we're also a bridge between the scientific community and the everyday people. So we translate those very scientific big words that they say, so we can all understand it and say those are great job. This is a family show. I think everybody's going to understand that the solutions are already there.
And that kind of leads to what one of the things that I wanted to talk about, the Volo Foundation's involvement in this project. I would imagine that's a big part of it, to really inspire people to take action in whatever way that they can, even though it may seem like something small and insignificant. All of those little small insignificant things that we can do eventually add up. Yeah,
starting by going to the volofoundation.org, you can see, you know, what the issues are, and then that gets you thinking, what can I do? You can always join your climate action plan locally, if it's around.
I think Toledo is implementing green infrastructure projects for stormwater management. So you guys are in the front of this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to meet a lot of individuals who are doing neat little things on their own, such as Maya Penn from Atlanta, Georgia. She is creating her own ink, you know, just from natural foods that she has, like avocado seeds and turmeric. And then also she takes clothes and upcycles them. So next time you're wanting to buy something, try going to a thrift shop, you know, seeing what, is there something that can be bought without having to make more.
Yeah.
All these little things we're going to be inspired to think about.
Really fascinating. It is a new show on CBS called The Visioneers. Where do we get information? When can we see it? And where can we go to get more information on the show?
Well, luckily for everyone, including myself, it's airing this weekend.
Okay.
Check your local listings, but it will be on CBS on Saturday mornings. I can tell you that much.
And do you have a website in conjunction with the series?
Yes, it's Visioneers TV.
Okay.
And also Volo Foundation, either one.
We will make sure that folks tune in, and we'll put that link on our webpage as well. Zay Harding and Thais Lopez with us this morning. Thanks very much for taking the time. Best of luck with the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. And once again, we have a story out of Columbus. I think that Columbus is trying to give Florida a run for its money this week. You remember the story we had earlier in the week about the 60-ton crane that went missing in Columbus. Somebody just stole it. They carjacked a 60-ton crane. Here's another story out of the state's capital city. A substitute teacher at a Columbus school now stands accused of attempting to hire a student to kill her husband. I know it's not really a laughing matter. They caught it in time, so nobody got hurt in this. But 44-year-old Stephanie Demetrius was arrested earlier this week on felony conspiracy charges. Investigators say Ms. Demetrius offered a 15-year-old student $2,000 to shoot her estranged husband and hire a hitman at the school. The mother of the teen reportedly discovered text messages about the arrangement on the boy's cell phone and reported the situation to police. So many things wrong about this. She hired a 15-year-old to kill her husband and then texted him about it. Not exactly criminal masterminds here. Oh, my goodness. Number one, I would imagine that she is no longer a licensed substitute teacher. You're not going to get that job again. And number two, I read the story and I said, I can't imagine why she was estranged from her husband. I can't believe that's a relationship that didn't work. Yeah. Elsewhere in the broken news, a man in North Carolina is facing charges after allegedly stealing a cinnamon bun from a grocery store, which that'll get you into enough trouble. Then he amped it up a little bit by brandishing a machete when confronted about it. Talk about escalating the situation right there. Jeffrey Dwayne Bradburn was charged with armed robbery, shoplifting, and also possession of drug paraphernalia. So that might have had something to do with the incident as well. Police responded in Asheville after receiving reports of a robbery. They apprehended Mr. Bradburn, who was found eating the stolen cinnamon bun when police arrived. He was booked into a detention facility on a $50,000 bond. The Asheville Police Department is urging anyone with information to contact them. Apparently, they think he might have stolen other things. Stole a cinnamon bun. This is a relatively minor shoplifting crime, but then escalated it with the machete. So, let's see. A husband and wife team in Gresham, Oregon are facing charges. Allegedly, they have been holding Sunday markets here's the thing. Police arrested 46-year-old Kevin Jared Olson at his home and his wife, Christy, during one of their events this past Sunday. The events were held every Sunday, featuring food trucks and several vendors selling, you know, various wares and so on. It was like a food truck festival, except that what they were selling were illicit drugs. Multiple controlled substances, including MDMA, cocaine, ketamine, LSD, marijuana, and magic mushrooms. So, not your everyday average run-of-the-mill food truck festival here. And apparently they'd been doing this for quite some time, and they had even advertised the markets on Facebook. So, they rolled out the food trucks and everything. They were... Okay, they were just asking to be caught, you know? They're just asking to be caught. Now, this is kind of weird. Sometimes the police make the broken news. Two New York City Police Department officers, NYPD officers, are under suspension without pay. They are accused of leaving the scene of a crash and failing to report it. Law enforcement sources say the cops were in hot pursuit of a stolen SUV on the Henry Hudson Parkway early Wednesday morning when the driver of the stolen SUV exited the highway, lost control, and crashed. The SUV then burst into flames. The officers, instead of stopping and, you know, helping the driver, I mean, he's a criminal, but at the same time, you got to help the driver and then place him under arrest. No, instead, the officers allegedly turned off their emergency lights and returned to the precinct without reporting the crash. I guess they figured that was a problem that took care of itself. The NYPD and the New York State Attorney General's office are investigating the incident. okay, well, that problem's solved. We'll just go back to the precinct. No, no, that's not the way to handle that situation. And and finally, in the broken news this morning, someone in Summit County, Colorado, has reportedly taken on the duty of punishing people who don't clean up after their dogs. According to local news reports, there's a dog do vigilante out there, apparently. According to local news reports, a woman reported to police that someone was throwing bags of dog poop onto her property. In investigating the identity of the suspect, dubbed the mysterious poop chucker, the Summit County Sheriff's Office interviewed neighbors of the woman who suggested that this was not a random crime. The suspect seems to be on a crusade against those who do not pick up after their dogs, said one neighbor. The woman who was targeted is also said to be well known in the neighborhood as someone who leaves her dog's waste exactly where it is. Police have since informed the woman that she is likely being targeted due to not picking up after her dog, which is, of course, kind of a nice way of saying what goes around comes around. The story does not say that they have closed the investigation and no longer consider it a priority, but that certainly is the impression that I get, that they are not pursuing the matter any further. What goes around comes around. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Primary Election Day is Tuesday, May 6th, and WFIN is giving you the opportunity to hear from the candidates before you cast your vote. This is WFIN News Director Matt Demchek. Coming up Monday, our candidate forum will feature the at-large hopefuls vying for a seat on Findlay City Council. Join moderator Chris Oakes and hear from the candidates Monday at 5 p.m. from 50 North on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So the spring housing market is about to pop. I think I read yesterday mortgage rates came down again, so that will certainly help. You're starting to see more and more houses for sale in the neighborhood. If you are thinking of selling a home, what is it that home buyers are looking for above all else when it comes to shopping for their dream home? Well, this is kind of interesting. A new survey of 2,000 Americans from Talker Research finds 78% of homeowners view their home as an extension of themselves. And 35% of respondents to the survey say that there is not a single aspect of their home that they would change. 35% said there's nothing that they would change about their home, which I thought was kind of interesting, because I don't know anybody like that. Everybody I know would like to change something about their home, but 35% don't. But the survey found that as people are on the hunt for their dream home, 33%, fully one-third of respondents, chose the style of the home as the number one thing that they considered, while square footage was the top pick for 29%. Now, there's probably not a whole lot you can do about that. Those things, you know, are not really fixable. I mean, style of the home to a certain extent with a big remodel. But for the most part, those are things that if you are a seller, there's not much you can do about it. It is what it is. But 23% of homeowners say they prioritize the backyard when on the hunt for their dream home. 23% prioritize the backyard. For those who have exterior elements to their home, a backyard, a porch, and so on, 60% said that they spend as much time as possible in those exterior areas. More specifically, 51% say they like to relax in their yard, 17% enjoy gardening. Backyards are the most favored outdoor areas, 70% say of all of the outdoor areas, the backyard is the most important. 69% said gardens, 61% said front yards, 61% said decks. For those that have a deck, it is very important. So these may be areas you want to focus on if you are trying to sell your home, because these are prime selling points. And I know, you know, front yards are always a prime spot, you know, with curb appeal and all of that. But don't forget the backyard, and don't forget, you know, if you have a good area for gardening, that you highlight that to potential buyers, because a lot of them are looking for that. Front yards and gardens are most likely to be voted as the pride of the home, according to respondents to the survey. 87% each said that their front yard and their garden is what they would consider the pride of their home. Millennials were the most likely to agree. 82% of millennials served. 82% of millennials in the survey said that they spend as much time as they can in the outdoor spaces of their home, compared to 56% of baby boomers. Not only that, but millennials were also the generation most likely to want more exterior space for their home. 61% versus 32% of boomers want more exterior space. So again, if your home has a lot of exterior space, make sure that you highlight that in your listings and in selling your home, especially for younger buyers. That's what they're looking for. Once again, my wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio for another collection of the files from Kyra's Kitchen. Another collection of recipes from the files of Kyra's Kitchen is what I mean to say. I'll spit it out here. It's been a long week.
It's Friday, honey.
It's Friday. Let's see. We've got, these are kind of best of. These are ones that we've done before, but it's been a while.
So yeah, this was back in, I think, 2022.
So you may or may not know. Yeah. Or may not remember these.
A couple of my favorites and a new one.
There is a new one?
Yeah. The one on the back is
the
new.
The dessert is the new one? Okay, yes. So we'll look forward to that. First of all, we have a recipe for roasted vegetables with sausage and ravioli.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites. So 12 ounces of frozen ravioli, 6 ounces of smoked sausage sliced, 1/2 a sweet onion chopped, 1 green bell pepper chopped, 3 red potatoes chopped, and 4 tablespoons of balsamic dressing. So preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Toss the vegetables and the sausage in a bowl with the dressing and bake for about 15 minutes. Cook ravioli as directed on the package. Strain the ravioli and season with salt and pepper. Add sausage and veggie mixture. Cook until vegetables are tender and enjoy.
Simple as that.
It's really easy.
Really easy.
Yes.
And so, really yummy.
Yes. Really roasted easy. Vegetables. Really yummy. And I just one of my favorites.
Okay.
Nice and, I don't know, it's simple.
Yeah, simple. Well.
Very simple.
Very simple. So the roasted vegetables with sausage and ravioli, have a spinach salad to go along with that.
Yes. So this is 6 ounce of mini spinach, 2 hard-boiled eggs sliced, 2 Roma tomatoes sliced, 1 English cucumber sliced, 1 cup of mushroom sliced. And then for your dressing, it's 1/3 cup of olive oil extra virgin, 3 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, and 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. So then in a large salad bowl, add your spinach, your egg, your tomatoes, your cucumber, and your mushrooms. In a small mason jar, add your olive oil, your apple cider vinegar, your Dijon mustard, and your soy sauce. Screw the lid on tight and shake until well mixed. So just the easiest way to make dressing. And then pour the dressing over the salad before serving and toss gently and serve immediately.
Okay.
So really easy also.
Again, very easy.
Nice and refreshing. And
so you're going to have dinner on the table in less than 30 minutes with this.
Oh, yeah.
With these recipes.
Yep.
Roasted vegetables.
All this is going to take is cooking your ravioli.
Yeah.
That's
the roasted vegetables with sausage and ravioli and the spinach salad.
Yes.
Two of our favorites from the archives.
Yes.
And then we have for dessert lemon bar cookie cups.
Yes, I love lemon bars. They're so refreshing and just yummy.
Especially
and
this time of year.
Yeah, yeah. And this would be a good one for Easter if you were taking something.
Yep.
So for the cookie cups, it's 1 cup of butter softened, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 1 large egg, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, and 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. Then for the lemon filling, it's 3/4 cups of granulated sugar, 2 large eggs, 1/4 cup of fresh lemon juice. That's about 2 lemons, 1 teaspoon of lemon, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest, 2 tablespoons of all-purpose flour, and optional for garnishing is some powdered sugar to dust it.
Dust over the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So preheat your oven to 350 degrees and grease a mini muffin tin pan. In a large bowl, beat the softened butter and granulated sugar together until light and fluffy. Add the egg and the vanilla extract. Mix that well. Then in a separate bowl, whisk together your flour and your baking powder. Gradually add the dry ingredients to the wet ingredients, mixing until you've got a soft cookie dough form. Mm-hmm. Roll 1-inch balls of dough and press them into your prepared mini muffin tin. I have like a nice little mallet that kind of does it for me. The other thing you can use is a shot glass.
Yeah, but you're not just going to put the ball in the tin. You're going
to flatten it down.
Okay.
Yep. So flatten those down into each one of your mini muffin tins, creating a well in the center with your shot glass. Bake for 10 to 12 minutes or until the edges are lightly golden. Remove from the oven. Use the shot glass again to remove and reshape the well. So you've got that nice little divot in your in there. Let the cookie cups cool completely in the tin before removing them. So while those are cooling, in a small saucepan, whisk together the sugar, the egg, the lemon juice, the lemon zest, and flour over medium-low heat. Cook, stirring constantly, and you want to do that medium-low heat so you don't cook that egg. You want to blend things.
Yeah,
you want to blend things together so you're not your egg doesn't separate.
Mm-hmm.
Cook, stirring constantly until the mixture thickens and coats the back of a spoon, about 5 to 7 minutes. Remove from the heat and cool slightly. Spoon the lemon filling into the cool cookie cups, filling each well to the top. Dust the cookie cups with powdered sugar if desired. Remove cookie cups from the tin and enjoy or store in an airtight container in the refrigerator.
Okay. So
really easy and really refreshing recipes.
It's easier than it sounds. I mean, the recipe is rather lengthy, but it's easier than it sounds. Yeah,
this one is refreshing.
Yes.
It's not, I mean, this is probably a medium recipe. The other two are really easy.
Really easy.
So
all of the recipes for this week, the roasted vegetables with sausage and ravioli, the spinach salad, and the lemon bar cookie cups are posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yep.
At Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. And we have that link posted at goodmornings.net. And so again, if you have favorite recipes that you would like to share, especially for Easter with that coming up, if you have a special recipe or one that is good, if you are going someplace and need to take a dish, share that with us. You can do that.
Yeah. Easily.
You can share those on the Facebook page. You can also email us goodmornings@wfin.com, and we will pass those along, the recipes from Kyra's Kitchen this morning. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, once again, you can get more information about all the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the program, state leaders have said they want to make Ohio the Silicon Valley of the Midwest. But how much electricity will it take to power all the supercomputers to make that happen? And where will it come from? We'll take a closer look at the battle over U.S. energy policy. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, Go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.